I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 1 this morning for our text. Beginning in verse number 18, I'd like to read down through verse number 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Father, we thank you today that we have your word. We thank you we have your spirit. And we ask you this morning, Lord, that as we endeavor to look into the word of God, that you might speak to us today through your spirit this morning. We ask you, dear Lord, today that you might reveal to us the great truths of your word. Put it into our hearts and make us understand today what you're teaching us. We ask you now to give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to remove all sin and uncleanliness from our lives. And let us leave here with a deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. For it's in his name that we pray, amen and amen. If you notice in verse number 18, Paul here tells the Christians at Rome something today that we don't hear a great deal about. Now, I do believe in grace, I do believe in mercy, and I do believe in the love of God. The first song that we sang today, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. That's a great topic today when we think about the love that God had for a world that was lost, that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice and the propitiation for our sins, that his blood might cleanse us from all unrighteousness this morning. But Paul also, as you read through the scripture, there's a theme that begins in Genesis and doesn't quit all the way through the scripture into Revelation chapter number 22. That theme Paul discusses here in our verses this morning, and he talks about the wrath of God. We don't hear a great deal today about God's judgment and God's wrath, but the Bible is full of the judgment and the wrath of God. Now, God expresses his wrath in many different ways today. There's eternal wrath that this morning is expressed through the scripture by a place called hell, the lake burning with fire. Revelation chapter number 14, I'll just read to you a couple of verses found in that chapter this morning to make sure that we understand that God has an eternal wrath. And it says in verse number 11, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receive the mark of his name. Hell this morning is a reality today. Hell today is as real as heaven. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but it's also prepared for those who reject the message of the gospel. And there are many, many, many people who descend into hell each and every day. In Isaiah chapter number 5, it says, hell hath enlarged herself. I sometimes wonder when we see these volcanic eruptions, if hell is not enlarging and expanding on a daily basis this morning, because people are sliding and slipping into hell, as Jonathan Edwards said, every day upon this earth. And so there's the eternal wrath of God that's designed for those who enter into eternity unprepared to meet Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's prophetic wrath that God speaks about throughout the Scripture. We find that Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter number 24 and 25. We find that the entire book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 6 through chapter number 19, talks about the prophetic wrath of God, that wrath that's yet to come. When God's winepress is released and God's judgment is released upon this earth, the seven seals and the seven angels and the seven vials of God's judgment are this morning the prophetic wrath of God that'll be poured out upon a world who has rejected Christ and rejected the Word of God. There's warning wrath. Throughout the Scripture we find that God has poured out wrath at times upon this earth. We find that the first wrath that we can really find today, I guess we could talk about this, would be the flood. When for 120 years Noah built an ark and preached about the wrath of God that was to come. And yet people did not believe Noah. And the flood came and destroyed every individual upon the earth except for those who were safe in the ark. That's God's judgment. That was God's judgment upon a world. And today there was many reasons for that. And you can read many of them in Genesis chapter number 6 if you'd like to read that when you get home. And today we see that God's wrath was poured out upon a world today through the flood. We find that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah received a warning wrath of God. That's a warning that stands down through the ages this morning. Jesus used those two illustrations of the times that it would be before His return to this earth, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. This morning we need to see the warning that Jesus was giving us, and we need to see the warning at the wrath of God as it was poured out through the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was destroyed with fire and brimstone this morning. There's the sowing and reaping wrath today. Galatians chapter number 6 tells us that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Someone once asked this question: was AIDS God's judgment this morning? Was that the judgment of God? Well, I'd have to say yes, that it was. Because you see, God designed the human body today, and it should not be subjected to things that are not supposed to be subjected upon the human body. We find that in Proverbs chapter number 5, that here the Word of God tells us many things today, but listen to what it said in Proverbs chapter number 5. Verse number 11. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Now you read the rest of Proverbs chapter 5 when you get home, and you'll find that's the playboy's payday. That's the time when God's judgment of sowing and reaping comes upon people today. We always reap what we sow. And this morning we're seeing today people reaping what they're sowing today. And many times, not only does it this morning flow over into them, but it flows over into innocent people who today have received this through transmission of blood transfusions and so forth today. And so we see sowing and reaping is the wrath of God. There's another kind of the wrath, and I think today it may be the worst kind, to be fair with you today. And that's called abandonment. One of the great examples of that is found in the book of Judges, beginning in chapter number 16. And there we have the story of Samson. Samson today was a man who was born, of course, in a miraculous way. And he was given special privileges and honors by God. And he was given great strength and great power, and he was to be a servant of the Most High God. But Samson, because of his great strength today, because of his great gifts today, became very popular. And Samson began to do things that were ungodly. And of course, we know the story of how that he began to go out with a woman by the name of Delilah. And how that this morning she tried to find the source of his strength. And finally, he submitted and told her the source of his strength. And when the Philistines came in to grab a hold of him, he got up, the Bible says, and he was going to do away with them as he had before, knowing not that the power of God had left him. God had abandoned Samson this morning. And this morning I think about that, and you think about God abandoning a man. You think about God abandoning people this morning. That may be some of the worst things that could ever happen to an individual, to be abandoned by God because of sin today. In the book of Proverbs chapter number 1, we find that here the Word of God declares today, as it talks about the nation of Israel in one section, but it also speaking to all of us this morning, beginning in verse number 24. And here we find that the Word of God says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you said it not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof." Now look at verse number 26, and this is one of the tragic verses in all of the Bible this morning. "I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh today." God says you would not listen when I spoke. You would not this morning come when I called. You this morning would have none of my counsel. You would listen to nothing that I had to say. And he said, there's coming a time when you'll call out, when fear will begin to come. But he said, I'll simply laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your fear. That's a sad thing, because God has abandoned these people this morning. "When your fear cometh as destruction, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find." Well, that's a sad verse, isn't it? You think about what God is saying here in that verse. He said, "They shall call upon me, but I will not answer." I will not answer. Abandoned by God. How sad that is this morning. God says, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Abandoned by God. There's a verse of scripture in the Old Testament that says Ephraim is joined to idols. Ephraim is joined to idols. And you would expect God to tell the prophet, Go down and give them a message of grace and hope and love. Go down and tell them that not all hope is gone. That I'm still here and that I will answer if they call. But that's not what God said to the prophet. God said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Abandoned by God. God's not answering prayers. He's not this morning sending prophets. He's not sending the message of love and gospel and grace. He says, leave him alone. Don't pray for him. Don't preach to him. Don't visit him. There's nothing can be done. Leave him alone. I'm going to say something that I really believe this morning, and I want you to listen carefully. I believe this country in which you and I live, this great nation today, is on the brink of abandonment by God. That our nation today is headed, and if we're not already there, we're very close to being abandoned by God. You see, how can you say that? Well, listen to what God says in the book of Acts, chapter number 14 and verse number 16. Acts 14 and verse 16 this morning. Who at times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Who permitted nations to go in their own direction. God has permitted America, this great nation in which you and I live, to go in their own direction. And I think this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture here in the book of Romans, that we have maybe the most graphic description of abandonment by God in all of the Scripture today. If you'll notice in chapter number 1 of Romans and verse number 24, we find a little phrase that said, God also gave them up. God gave them up. And verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up. Verse number 28, God gave them over. Over and over again in this particular chapter, you find that God is giving them over. God is giving them up this morning. Verse number 24, he said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We find that here is as you read down through these verses, I would call it a progression. It's not really a progression, it's a digression, but understand what I'm talking about today. And it begins with promiscuity, fornication, and adultery. And God, the Bible says that God gave them over to this morning. You look around our nation today, and that's exactly where we're living. We're living in a nation of promiscuity, fornication, and adultery. And it's being glamorized this morning all over our country. This morning in the newspaper, was a picture of a 2-year-old baby who is dying of leukemia and some other different related diseases. And I hope you don't misunderstand. My heart goes out to that individual this morning, to that little boy. But I want you to listen very carefully. He was serving as the best man at his parents' wedding. And as I read down through that, they also have a 1-year-old child, and one of them had a 13-year-old daughter. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not this morning, as my heart goes out to anybody that loses a child. I want you to understand that. Nothing can ever take that. But what are we doing, folks? We've taken it now from the back alley and we put it on the front page of the newspaper and glorify it. God gave them over. This nation is being abandoned by God because this morning, you look at it, He gave them over. And I read constantly and constantly and constantly, this people have this child and, what happened? Somebody asked me one day, he said, well, what difference does a piece of paper make? Whether you're married or not. Well, let me tell you what difference it makes. Hebrews chapter number 13. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Very simple. That's the difference that it makes this morning. It's in the eyes of God. Now listen to me. God gave them over. We went into this thing in the 1960s in a sexual revolution, and we began not to want to listen to what God said. And so God gave them over. And it didn't end with that. At verse number 26, it said, for this cause give them over unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Perversion. Degrading passions. And you see, today it's not just something we read about here. It starts in the White House. Goes over to the Supreme Court. Now even our military, who once was the last bastion, it seemed, of against this mess. Now they removed all the crosses from all of the chapels and military installations around the world. And they're using them now to perform gay marriages in between two men and two women in the military. It's sickening, isn't it? But God gave them over. When you look about it today, some things are going to always be there, and sin's always going to be there, but when we begin to promote it, and as I said, it starts in the White House, and it goes all the way down. I read this week where a soldier, 27-year veteran of our military, served in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, is being forced into retirement because he simply wrote a letter to the chaplain at West Point expressing his displeasure with him performing a marriage between two gay military couples. And he's being reprimanded and forced to retire because of that. God has given us over, folks. We're being abandoned by the Lord. In verse 28, he said, and then as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Their mind's gone. We live in a world today with mindless people. You see, when you think it can't get any worse, it seems that it does today. Reprobation. All you got to do is watch Jerry Springer one time and you'll see it. Well, I wouldn't suggest you watch it, please, but I mean, we're bragging about it. That's what he's saying here. God, just give us over. We're over. God gave them over. We got to hurry. And then there's total depravity. That starts in verse 29 and goes down through verse number 31. Just every kind of sin you can think about. Total depravity. That's why we see molestation, incest, murders, all this other mess that we're seeing. Now, why did this happen? Why is it happening? Well, notice in verse number 19 and 20, it's because revelation. God revealed himself to man. Men this morning have the revelation of God. Here Paul talks about creation. He talks about the conscience. But today we're even more held more accountable because God also has given us his word and his spirit. We've rejected, and we'll see that in a minute, but God has revealed everything today about himself in the word of God. But we decided we wanted to take it out of society. We wanted to remove God's word from our world today. We wanted to reject the revelation of God. And we not only reject it today in the secular world, but even this morning in what we call the religious world, wants to take out the inspired, inerrant word of God. God has revealed himself through his word. He has revealed his son through his word. He has revealed to us some things through his word. If you can ever obtain a copy, I would suggest that you stop and sometime read a book by a medical doctor called None of These Diseases. It talks about that over in the book of Deuteronomy. And God says to Israel, if you'll practice these things, none of these diseases will come upon you. Because God has designed the human body. And because God designed the human body, he knows how it operates. But we reject all of that. We totally reject God. You see, that's what he says. I've revealed myself, but what did man do? And because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They rejected God. They just rejected him. We don't want that. We're not going to have that. We're just going to reject it. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Rationalization. We're too smart for that anymore. We're too educated for that anymore. We're too technologically advanced for that anymore. Nobody believes that mess anymore. I read this week where a reporter for one of the national newspapers was ridiculed because she believed in creation. And all of her co-workers and many of the associates she had met through the years were ridiculing her because of all the scientific evidence to the difference. She said, I still believe it. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. Like the guy said, the fellow was in an insane asylum. The guy in the next bed kept yelling for 3 days, I'm Napoleon, I'm Napoleon. And finally he said, who in the world told you you was Napoleon? He said, God did. And the man said, I did not. We rationalize things. You see, we want to be our own God. We want to be our own God today. We want to decide, hey, I'm going to rationalize this. I'm going to be my own God. And so where we're at, we're abandoned by God. Isn't that sad today? I'm not going to turn there, but yeah, I am. I'm going to read this to you. I got to read this to you. Psalms chapter number 81 real quickly. I'll be through. I want you to listen to what God says here in Psalm chapter 81, verses 11 and 12. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I give them up into their own hearts and lust, and they walked in their own counsel. He gave up Israel. I believe he's abandoning our nation. First thing I thought about when 911 came, and I was watching, and that one of those reporters said, "We need to pray for the families." I thought, I'm not sure God's going to answer. Sad to say, but I believe we're nearly at the point today, and I'm not talking about people who love the Lord and who today are Christians. But I'm thinking today that there's going to come a time when people begin to cry out, but God's not going to answer. All we have to do is look today and around our world, and we see the wrath of God and the abandonment of God. It's one of the greatest judgments that we'll ever see. We cry, but God will not answer. And you know, sometimes that wrath extends over into an individual because that individual says, "Hey, I don't want none of God. I'm not going to have God." And there may come a time when God will not answer you, when God will not hear you. I believe our nation is facing the wrath and the judgment of God. Morning. We need to spread the gospel and do everything we can today to let God's name be glorified and exalted throughout the world. But understand this, the wrath and the judgment of God is a reality, just as much as His love and His mercy and His grace this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce Bean Barber, come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've been together. We ask You might take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His blessed holy name we pray. Amen.